You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek, host of Horses in the Morning.
And I'm Lily Bisson from Gallop for Life, and you are listening to a special episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, May 25th, episode 3957 by Worm Flooring. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this second special cancer episode that we're doing with Gallop for Life. I appreciate you tuning in today. I've got Lily back with me. Lily, thanks for doing this again.
Oh, you're so welcome, Glenn. And again, thanks so much for having us on. And thanks for letting us talk about cancer on your horse show. But we promise we're just talking about cancer like we did on the last episode. We had other topics related to horses, and we promise that it is connected.
Yeah, there's definitely a link there. And, you know, this show is usually light and lively, but there are serious things in life, too, when it involves horses and people and their lives and their health and all of that stuff. So that's why we're here. Now, last week you explained what Gallop for Life is, and I'm just going to ask you to give me the Reader's Digest version. So if you missed last week's episode, go back to last Monday and take a listen. But for the Reader's Digest version of what Gallop for Life is and what you're trying to accomplish with these episodes.
Yeah, sure thing. So Gallop for Life is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we have a support group for equestrians with breast cancer diagnosis, and that's on Facebook. You can find us there. And then we have this larger nonprofit, and we are sending gift baskets to newly diagnosed people in the community, and that's open to individuals in the horse community with any type of cancer. Doesn't have to be breast cancer. Don't even have to be a woman. We will send men a lovely care package. Men deserve to be, you know, pampered as well when they get a rough diagnosis.
I agree.
There you go, Glenn. I'm sorry I wasn't tracking your diet. I would have sent you one. I'll actually pop one in the mail anyway, because I think that they are good for any time. And then in addition to that, I'm so pleased to announce that we have launched our financial subsidy program. So if you or someone you know is undergoing cancer treatment and needs financial aid to offset the cost of their treatment, they can apply for our subsidy program on our website at gallopforlife.org.
They have to own a horse, though, right? Or be a horse person?
You don't have
sort
to own a horse. You know, we've got farriers that don't own horses. I mean, most sensible
people
might
not. Be involved with horses
but just
somehow.
Some connection, some tangible connection. Maybe you're taking lessons or maybe you're, you know, a jockey or just some connection to the horse world.
Gotcha. And where can people, if they want to contribute or become involved somehow, how do they do it?
Yeah. So again, we've got our website, we've got our Facebook page. My email is info@gallopforlife.org. Again, we're looking to grow this nonprofit. We are, you know, a nationally recognized 501c3, as I said, but I'm only one person. And so we're trying to reach out and start chapters all over. So if you would like to host your own trail ride to raise funds for Gallop for Life, or you'd like to host a horse show, or even just a class at an existing show, venues, we'd love to partner with some large companies. We're open to any kind of sponsorship or collaboration. So I'd love to discuss more with any of the listeners out there. Again, my email is info@gallopforlife.org.
Very good. Now, we have some guests on. We're going to have another one today. We had one last week that had an inspirational story. She's absolutely fascinating. And we have another one for you today, and we're going to get to her right after these sponsors.
Ditch the mats and upgrade to Worm Flooring Systems. Is the constant struggle with heavy rubber mats getting you down? Do you crave a more durable, easy-to-clean flooring solution for your trailer, barn, or any space, commercial or residential? Worm Flooring Systems solves your problems. Say goodbye to rubber mats and say hello to Worm Flooring Systems. No more liquid seeping through to the wood or aluminum frame. Slip-resistant grip that provides a cushion comfort, extremely durable, built to last and withstand heavy machinery and constant use. Plus, it helps insulate the trailer. Worm Flooring Systems, the perfect choice for applications all over your horse property. We eliminate rubber mats. Visit wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you.
Clarify Larvicide is more than just a fly control product. It's the first step towards improving horse comfort and keeping nuisance flies out of your stables. This feed additive uses an active ingredient that passes through the digestive system of horses where it stops flies in their larval stage. By using Clarify Larvicide as part of an integrated pest management program with Starbar products, you'll get more support, more expertise, and more control. Visit centralflycontrol.com to learn more or contact your local feed dealer. That's centralflycontrol.com. So who's up today, Lily?
Okay, so today we have Emma, and Emma is one of the few people in our support group. Like I said, we've got over 500 members, but Emma I've met in real life the old-fashioned way. Emma came out and she's volunteered at a couple events at Lochmoy Farm in Adamstown, Maryland. So I'm excited to have her on the show today. Hi, Emma. Thanks for meeting with us today and for talking about the subject that none of us wanted to be experts in or have any knowledge about, but here we are. So thanks for being willing to sharing your story with us. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about when you were first diagnosed with cancer.
Sure. So I had the really fun privilege of being diagnosed in October of 2020.
Which, okay, that's ironic, Emma, because that's when I went into surgery for mine.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly October of 2020.
Wow. Yeah, I can
not a good year
imagine.
For anybody, no. But then getting cancer on top of, you know, a global pandemic, not fun.
Right. Yes. Cue the massive medical trauma.
Oh no. And were you on a farm when you were diagnosed?
So I had fairly recently, the year before, made the jump from working full-time professionally as a horse person to getting a desk job, selling horse insurance of all things, because what else did I know how to do? And my husband, well, boyfriend at the time, and I had a little farmhouse, and for the most part, we were just holed up there, leaving packages on the porch for 3 days because, you know, nobody knew much about transmission of COVID at that point, and sure. We didn't want the germs to come in on his hoard of beans and rice.
Right.
So on that particular day, I'd gone into the office. You know, we had to do that once a week to process mail and things like that, you know, masked up all the things, and got a call from the breast surgeon who had reviewed everything from the biopsy that had been done just the day before. So I knew as soon as I got that call that, you know, within 24 hours, not good news. Yeah. And it's a phone call I'll never forget. I don't know how I made it home. And I was very fortunate with a great boss and teammates who basically said, you know, put your out of office on, don't worry about us, and do what you need to do. And we were in the hospital the next day meeting with the doctor who diagnosed me. And then I want to say by like Tuesday of the next week, we'd met my oncologist and started the process of genetic testing, fertility preservation, all of the things, you know. And of course, that was during lockdown, basically. So it was pretty surreal.
You know, hearing this and hearing about your transition into like the corporate world, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is not a whole lot of pros when it comes to cancer diagnosis, but I think, you know, being a horse professional would have added like that, you know, the fact that you're peers and your supervisor were just like, take the time off, put your out of office on, that's not always like an option for some people,
yeah,
who might be, you know, in the a trainer or a groom. Can't just say like, yep, peace out, horses. I gotta like take care of myself, right? It's like navigating those other responsibilities. Not that you didn't have your own responsibilities. It's nice.
No, I was,
but we can't.
Yeah, no, I was incredibly fortunate in that regard. You know, a year previously, I had been in the barn every day, and I don't, you know, I couldn't have done what I did. Yeah. You know, so I was incredibly fortunate in that respect. And I know a lot of people don't have that luxury of not needing to work and still being supported and, you know, getting paid and maintaining insurance coverage and all of that, which I am incredibly grateful for. My direct boss, my office manager, actually, her grandson had been diagnosed with cancer as a toddler. So she was very understanding on a personal level, which is, you know, again, nothing that anybody ever wants to know about, but I benefited from that and still appreciate that to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what type of cancer were you diagnosed with?
So I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. I had a lump in my left breast, and triple negative means that there are no hormone receptors involved. So, you know, it's got nothing to do with estrogen, progesterone. It's not HER2 positive. So it's pretty aggressive. It seems to be more common in younger women. I am BRCA negative. We did all the genetic testing. It was just sheer bad luck, as far as we know, that was my diagnosis. I didn't have any immediate family history, although I did have more family history of cancer than I was aware of. So here's my little shout out to, you know about your family medical history if possible, so that you can better advocate for yourself.
Yeah. But that was me. That's excellent. I mean, and that's really good advice too. I think any of us who have gone through cancer, you know, they start asking you all these questions. And it wasn't until I started putting sort of pen to paper and seeing, although I was the first of my kind to have breast cancer, cancer was, you know, ran pretty deep in my family. So it is something for people to be aware of, even if your genetic testing says you don't have one of those, you know, genes. But of course, it doesn't, not having the gene doesn't mean that you're immune, right?
So, no kidding.
Unfortunately. Or, you know, that's just one of those things. I think before going into this, I don't know about you, Emma, but I thought that, you know, that this was something that wasn't going to impact me, wasn't
right,
going to hit me, because I thought, oh no, it's just, I have no history and mm-hmm. I didn't feel a lump. Did you feel the lump or was...
Yeah. Yes, I did. You know, and I know I was very young, and for me, breast cancer was always an older woman's disease. I was diagnosed just after I turned 30. My now husband and boyfriend actually found the lump for me. He's very helpful like that.
That's great. And they're useful sometimes.
They're useful sometimes. Yeah, you know, and I called my dad's now wife, who said, you know, it's probably just a cyst, it's probably hormonal, keep an eye on it, but if it really doesn't go away, you should probably have it checked out in the next 30 days or so. Again, this is COVID, so getting in to see anybody was trickier than normal, but I was able to get in and was sent in very short order for an ultrasound and then a biopsy and then diagnosed.
Well, I mean, again, if you try to look at these positive sides of it, it is so excellent that you went and did not ignore the lump and that your care team took it very seriously and sort of gave you a fast track through diagnosis and to treatment. You know, that's, again, not everybody's experience with these things. So good to hear that. You know, you prioritize this too. And I know as horse people, we can kind of prioritize our horse's health before we prioritize our own. So I will be calling the vets for lumps and bumps that I see on my horse. But right. If I see a mystery lump, I just think maybe I knocked it or something like that. So it can be easy to dismiss.
That is for sure. I mean, we all joke that our horses have chiropractors and a masseuse and a this and a that. Meanwhile, here we are like hobbling down the barn aisle, won't pass a vet check.
Right, exactly. We won't pass vet checks. I love that. So while you were going through treatment, I mean, it sounds like, you know, I know you had chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. I started with chemo.
Okay. And then, so were you around during 2020, you might not have, you know, been around many people at all, but were there any animal connections with the horses? Did you stay working or connected to horses in any way?
Honestly, this is terrible, but no, I had to euthanize my horse not even 2 months prior, you know, due to a neurological condition. So I was horseless for the first time, and I couldn't tell you how long. And then again, with the complications of COVID, it wasn't like I could find a barn and be like, you know, can I just come in and pet somebody, forget about getting in the saddle. And then I will say, and I hate to tell people this, especially if they haven't started treatment, but chemo was so tough. Like, there is no way I could have ridden throughout it. I didn't have the physical strength. I mean, I was going up and down the stairs some days felt like a big accomplishment.
I hear you. And also, I mean, I think, well, first of all, I'm so sorry about your horse, but it's like one of those things, like when it rains, it pours, right?
Yep.
Life sometimes just is relentless and it just keeps on coming. And so, but again, I think, you know, doing the right thing and prioritizing your health, you know, maybe it wasn't the ideal time to go out and buy yourself an off the track thoroughbred that could be retrained, right? So right. I think you were probably smart in, you know, kind of just managing your own treatment plan. But so today, like, what has changed for you since your diagnosis, you know, in terms of your perspective or any kind of, did you reset any goals or planning any trips, anything to sort of look forward to?
Yeah, I will say, so I learned about the phrase post-traumatic growth, and it really, it's a thing, you know, and I definitely, with cancer and COVID, there were some things I really had a lot of social anxiety about, worrying about getting sick, whether or not people had been vaccinated, all that stuff. But it crystallized for me, especially the, you know, the people and things that matter to you really do matter, you know, like the family or loved ones, those connections, you know, if it's time in the saddle, which for me was always really precious, and that there's no time like the present to do those things. And I know, you know, post-treatment and all that, there you do have to balance what you're physically capable of, you know, because exhaustion and chemo fog and, you know, physical limitations can really change. But there is a lot to, you know, take the trip. I have two girlfriends who I've known for years and years and rode with for years and years. And we do an annual trip every year that we started after COVID and cancer. And it's just so much more important now. And, you know, having that connection with the horses, I don't know, it's just special.
Yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? We're so lucky to have this common denominator that bonds us. And, you know, Glenn has his horse. He's also been through it. I have, you know, my horses, and, you know, I just feel like this instant connection with somebody almost wherever you go when you share that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, going through everything that you've been through, you just have that deeper appreciation for that human connection and life in general, because it is, yes, a gift. Sometimes it's not a gift we want to open, but it, you know, every day I do feel that way.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's made me a more patient and compassionate person, which, you know, I'd like to say I developed more earlier on, especially with horses, but I think this diagnosis and being so sick really helped me figure that out. But I do think it's going to stand me well with horses going forward, you know, that we kind of have to meet everybody where they are. And if that's not true with horse training, I don't know what is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I know you're in our support group for equestrians with cancer, mm-hmm, with breast cancer. And what has helped you with that group, that connection, that human connection with that common shared bond of horses?
It's just finding another village, you know, especially having been young when diagnosed, it was hard for me to find a cohort. And then, but, you know, horse people were a little clannish. We're all a little crazy, I think. I was joking with somebody earlier that you can see that little gleam in their eyes. But, you know, even if we are in different disciplines or different ages or different parts of the country, or, you know, did a lumpectomy versus a mastectomy or went flat or had reconstruction, I think that we could all relate on a really similar level that was just more unifying than anything else. And I appreciate it. And I think, you know, as I think horsewomen by and large identify as being pretty tough. you know, there's a lot of mental toughness and, you know, bearing through a lot of things physically. And it hit differently as somebody who has always been really physically active and outside, and to be able to commiserate with people who are like, you know, yeah, absolutely not. Not only could I not lift a hay bale, like I'm not allowed to. And how long did you wait? And, you know, is anybody else nervous about a horse picking up contact? And, you know, can you hold them? Do you have those muscles still? For me, that connection has been more valuable, I think, than just meeting others with breast cancer. Not that those connections haven't always been valuable, but horses are a pretty universal language for those of us who deal with them.
Well, I have to ask how you're doing now. I saw in the notes that you sent to me that you're 5-year, what we call NED. And if you could explain that, I am also, by the way, just got that a couple of months ago. So kind of explain that.
Well, congratulations to you.
You
that
too.
Is a big milestone. Thank you. Yeah. So later this month will be the 5-year anniversary of my mastectomy.
I almost hate that word when it revolves around cancer, because anniversaries are supposed to be like good things, right?
Right.
In our case, it is, but it's kind of also the anniversary you got told you have cancer. You know, I hate that word when it comes to that. We need a different word.
Yes. And it almost needs its whole new vocabulary itself.
Yes. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're fine. So yeah, so this month I'm closing in on my 5-year anniversary of NED, or no evidence of disease, which I know I can't. Sometimes I think about it and it feels surreal, because I can remember thinking I'd never get here, or be terrified that I would never get here, or be horrified to even imagine it, because, you know, it was scary to hope for, because how awful would it be if I didn't, you know, if I had a recurrence, which does happen. But for me, meeting that 5-year threshold lowers my risk of recurrence or a second cancer significantly. So it's a big deal.
And it's funny, because your cancer doctor gets very excited about it too. My cancer doctor was so excited I hit that mark, you know, it's like,
yeah. Yeah. And my oncologist, who I just adore and have total hero worship for, and I would probably leave my husband for if, you know, not really, he's happily married, but I love him. You know, and the last time I saw him, I actually have an appointment later this month, but the last time I saw him, he was like, you know, you can kind of say how you want to go forward. You know, we can release you after this point, you know, just keep an eye on all the things, you know, do you have any weird lumps or bumps? Then you need to see somebody and we can follow up as needed, you know, or you can come in once a year. And I was like, oh no, I will see you once a year. Like, that's my security blanket. But I don't know. I'm hopeful and excited and relieved, and still am, you know, holding my breath a little bit, because it's still 3.5 weeks out, and I'm just, you know, please don't let anything happen between now and then.
So I have to ask you guys, both of you, every time I get any little anything, I think, oh God, cancer's back. Am I the only one that does that?
No.
Okay.
No. Lily, I don't know about you, but I am... I alternate between mammograms on my one surviving boob and breast MRIs every 6 months. And I had my most recent mammogram last month. And they actually, for anybody who hasn't had a mammogram yet or is lucky enough not to need
them. Do it now.
Yes. First of all, do it now. Don't put it off. But usually they take a couple of pictures. It's usually 3. And then they ask you to sit there in your very comfortable and pretty gown while the radiologist reviews the images before they release you to either go to ultrasound or put your clothes back on and, you know, rejoin everybody. And this time they actually held me back and took another image. And those 5 minutes were like that's it, I'm going to die. This, you know, like,
oh no,
here we go again. And it was the longest 5 minutes of my life. And when they came back after that, you know, fourth picture and said, you know, nope, all clear, you're good to go. And then I had an ultrasound and again, good to go. It was just, I think I went into the parking lot and cried because it's scary. But anyway, do all the preventative things, you know, get the mammogram, get the follow-ups, do a breast exam every month. I can't advocate for all of that enough because pretty much anything is better than chemo, radiation, whatever it is. So yeah, stay ahead of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for me, Glenn, I think I just, I like to compartmentalize. So that chapter is done and it's never happening to me ever again.
I like her. We need Lily's. I need your fortitude. That's what I need.
Yeah.
Because I had a bad stomach thing for 2 months last year and they finally figured it out after 2 months, but I was convinced it was cancer, you know, and they did the CT scans and the whole thing twice. And I was still not convinced, you know. You right. Always have that in the back of your head once you've heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. It could always be worst case scenario once you know what that feels like and looks like.
So to wrap this up with you, I wanted to ask you about the organization Gallup for Life. So what would you suggest to anybody out there who's just heard those words or has a family member who's heard those words and they're also involved with the equine community? Join the group?
Definitely join the group. Yes. Lily can talk about all the great things because this was her mastermind. You know, other people are going through treatment and recovery and just, I know I was just sprawled on the couch like a beached whale or something, and here's Lily starting a not-for-profit.
She's a little bit of an overachiever too.
She is a little bit of an overachiever, but luckily for her, we all benefit from it.
Again, I think I talked about this on the last podcast, but this is very self-serving, and I'm so glad that it serves other people. But I really, like Emma said, I was having a hard time finding a cohort of people. So I was like, let me just create my own. And sure enough, you know, today we've got like 530 members of this group and, you know, a place where social media can be pretty ugly most days. This is a pretty incredible space of sharing and camaraderie and that journey, like Emma said, of just not being able to pick up the hay bale. It's not the glorifying of the grind of you rode a horse with a broken hand. This is serious stuff, major surgeries, major treatment plans. And we're all just here supporting one another. And it really is terrific. And you have a whole cheering squad of 500 and something women just congratulating you because you took your horse for a lap walk around an arena. And I don't know how many times, you know, how big and monumental that is to just go for a walk, even if you need members of your barn to help you get in the saddle. These are all milestones that we celebrate in the group. And yeah, it's a privilege to be a part of it. And I'm so glad to have met such wonderful people like Emma connected to this group. So yeah.
Emma, give a plug for your insurance agency. You're probably at work, so I'm going to give them some love here so you can say I was working.
This is my very late lunch break. No, they are great. I work for Taylor Harris Insurance Services. All we do is sell horse insurance. We've been in business for 39 years now. We're based out of Middleburg, Virginia, but sell coverage all over the U.S. We're a very small internal team of horse people. We're all horse people first and insurance agents second. And it's a really great community. And I have been so appreciative of the support I've had. And it has been a wonderful way to stay in the industry, to talk shop every day while, you know, not being in a barn and ending my day at 5 and not being filthy and, you know, not getting on a horse. And
let's not mention a paycheck. Really, that helps too.
And benefits. They're amazing and needed.
You know what? That's interesting that you say that because Lily and I have talked about this. That's the biggest problem with people in the horse world don't have insurance. you know, many, many of them don't have insurance. And that gets, you know, as we all know, you know, our bills have all gone over $1 million in a year. And if we didn't have insurance, it would be, well, we wouldn't be here. That's just the way it is. But so I love the fact that you're doing the job you're doing too, because one of the things that we want to do, and this is Lily to the extreme, one of the things that we want to do after having gone through something like that is to help others. You get to help them with their horses, but they're going through the same kind of mental thing with their horses. And you get to help make that a little bit easier, that the, at least for, you know, the, and I know you deal with mortality or health too for horses.
Both. Everything starts with mortality, but we can add other coverages. And so certainly we do take some really terrible calls and, you know, or things that just are tough to deal with. You know, something's wrong with my horse and I don't know what, and we can't figure it out. So certainly having gone through cancer and dealt with some pretty extensive diagnostics and all of that has made me, I think, a better listener and better able to communicate.
Certainly more empathetic.
More empathetic, for sure. You know, and, you know, a lot of the women, or I would say a lot of the clients that we do have are women, and some of them have gone through very similar health issues. I mean, they always strike a special chord for me. But I feel like I should put in a plug right now for one of Gallup for Life's latest initiatives, which, Lily, I don't know if you want to jump in.
Yeah, we're now able to offer subsidies for those people who are underinsured or without insurance to help offset the cost of their treatment. So the link is now live on the website. We are reviewing applications now. It's a needs-based program, so you must meet the threshold for your household income. But we are really just thank you to all of those who have donated in the past. And if there are people who are in a position to donate now, we have the ability to take donations on our website. Or if you're looking for another way to get involved, you can host your own event. You know, you can host a trail ride. You could host a schooling show. If you have connections to, I don't know, the $1 million Grand Prix in Wellington, we'll also take that. But again, you know, I blush sometimes when people say all these nice positive things about me. But again, I'll quote Kennedy, you know, we can all do great things because we can all serve. So you could do something like this in your own community and raise money for Gallup for Life. And we are a 501c3, and we would love to have any support at any level.
And what's the website again?
Is gallupforlife.org.
Emma, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here and telling your story and hopefully helping others deal with it, because we know that today somebody in the horse world is hearing you have cancer. And that starts the trajectory that we've all been down, but we're all still here. So
we
there
are,
is hope too, right? Especially if it's caught early. So get your colonoscopy and get your mammogram. Do both of those at the same time in the same hospital. I don't care. Just get them done. Matter of fact, you know, after you've done all that, it might make the mammogram easier if you're half out of it after you've just done the colonoscopy.
So, you're onto something, Glenn.
Yeah, we need to start that. Emma, thanks a bunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
Another fascinating story. You know, one of the things we said when we started Horses in the Morning is every horse person has a story. It's our job to help them tell it. And that's what we've done. We've had almost 7,000 guests now on Horses in the Morning.
Believe wow,
me, that's
Glenn.
A lot. And, you know, people will say, well, I was on your show 10 years ago. And then I'm going, oh, I don't remember this at all. Because, you know, we've had 7,000. So, but, you know, I'll remember these. And because the stories are so special. And I appreciate you joining us to do this. I hope it helps. I hope it brings up some awareness, helps people. If nothing else, a person that was putting off getting a mammogram or colonoscopy or some other check done will go get it done. And that'll be because they heard these episodes. If
please,
one person
please.
Does that, it's worth it.
Absolutely, yeah. Glenn. Absolutely.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the chat. Where can they find the website again?
Yeah, again, thank you so much for having us on. The website is gallupforlife.org. My email is info@gallupforlife.org. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your story. If you need help or somebody in your barn needs help, your trainer, your farrier, anybody, we're here to help you. We're here to support you. Nobody's going to go through this alone, especially in the horse community.
And Lily, I have known, I knew her before her cancer diagnosis, has been always this helpful and friendly all along. So This is nothing new because of cancer. You've always been this way, and you're a sweetheart. Thank you. We have new special episodes for you coming up. Be sure to subscribe and tune in throughout the month. The Stable Riding with Solange episode is out for you tomorrow, a brand new one. Be safe, everyone, and get your mammograms and colonoscopies today.